Yeah, when I started like stop taking the birth control, for me it was a little bit of like I need to forgive myself for not knowing what I'm not right now. And for me that was like yeah, giving myself a lot of hormones, not paying attention, talking to myself in bad ways sometimes. And
This is the Feminine Power Podcast, where we explore ancient and modern wisdom and discover practical tools to cultivate a deep connection with our feminine essence and sexual energy. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, and I dedicate my life to nurturing and growing FEEL, the community of empowered women reclaiming their power through exploring the most potent energy, sexual energy. You can join our community for free and access a rich tapestry of knowledge from diverse, incredible teachers from all over the world. And I leave the link to join in this podcast description for you. In this podcast, through interviews with inspiring teachers and experts who serve our FEEL community, we explore various aspects of femininity, including self-love, body positivity, sexuality, relationships, intuitive wisdom, embodiment, and feminine leadership. Welcome to the Feminine Power Podcast. In this episode, I speak to Juana Arias, an actress and hospitality entrepreneur currently based in Mexico City. She opens up about her profound shift after discontinuing birth control, which she had used for many, many years. Since quitting birth control, she has started a new relationship with her body and with her feminine nature. She rediscovered the power of her menstrual cycle and started exploring sexuality from a completely different, more conscious and spiritual perspective. She has deepened her empowerment journey, and in this episode, we explore her path of intuitive self-healing, breaking free from numbness, and awakening to her own divine body's wisdom. She shares her experience with plant medicine, with the practices of embodiment and sacred sexuality, and talks about the profound connection between sexuality and personal liberation. This episode is also a wonderful opportunity for men to learn more about women and understand more how to love women better.
It's how I started taking birth control, I think, when I was 18 years old, right? Mm-hmm. And you go to the doctor and they're like, yeah, it's the birth control. I really didn't get any information about it. Just like, I guess it was the right thing to do, right? Because you don't really get any other options rather than like get birth control, like use a condom, that's it. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was really cool with it, right? I stopped getting migraines at a time. So I'm like, okay, this is kind of like helping me, I guess. And then almost, September this year will be 2 years. I don't know what happened to me. I took a trip of ayahuasca in February 2021. And it was very rough, it was hard, it was very confronting, but that gave me kind of like the start to start working on myself very deep, going to therapy, starting to look like what was happening inside of me, inside of my body, a little bit, not as much. But then when all of a sudden, like after like I did that and therapy, I started thinking, why am I giving myself hormones? Like, what am I doing? Like, and what's that? Like, I kind of feel like when you get the birth control, you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what it has. You don't even know what you're putting inside of your body. And September 2022, I was coming back from Burning Man, and I decided like I'm gonna stop after like 15 years. And I remember I was telling one of my best friends, and I told him like, you know, I'm gonna stop taking birth control. He's like, but wait, why don't you go to the doctor and like maybe ask and see if you could do it slowly or like start leaving the pills slowly. And I'm like, no. Like, there's something inside of me that is telling me to do it now. I don't want to ask anyone. I don't want to know anyone's opinion. I just want to trust, like, this feeling.
Mm.
And I stopped. And I think that was, like, a before and after.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I feel like it was me starting to wake up. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of felt that I was numbed, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't want to leave here any opinion of like if it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
But in my, like, in my personal path, I felt like I was super numb and I wasn't really feeling my body and I wasn't really connecting kind of like my heart with my body and my mind. And when I stopped, I was like, okay. And I got my period after like two months.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that first month that I got my period, I was like, whoa, I'm bloated, right? Or like, mm-hmm. it hurts. Or like, yeah, even like my mood swings, I was more aware of it.
Yeah.
And so I think that was like the beginning of understanding that I was very disconnected from my body.
Yeah.
And that obviously comes, I think that shows in your life, in your relationships, the way you relate to people, the way you ask for things that you should be giving yourself, mm-hmm. right? And I think I was in a relationship at a time where I was very needy. You know, I was like, please, I need love or something like that. Because I wasn't being able to be giving that love to myself,
mm-hmm.
right? And it was almost like the end of the relationship that I was having. And I was in Costa Rica. My ex-boyfriend decided we wanted to go to like this waterfall. I remember, I mean, he jumped. I was on the top of the waterfall at the edge of the rock. I remember my inner voice was clearly saying, don't do it. Like, don't jump, right?
Yeah.
But then you get all of these thoughts of, oh no, I have to do it. I have to be super adventure. I have to show him or whatever that, you know, that I'm capable of jumping and da-da-da-da-da, all of those thoughts. And at the end, I guess it was part of my path, but I didn't really listen to my inner voice or like, anyway, I jumped and it was really hard. I felt like my lower back, like it shut down. I couldn't really move. I fainted. It was very hard. I really thought I was not gonna able to walk ever again. And so it was one of those New Year's Eve where, like, I mean, I just had a puppy that had just died 10 days before that. I was really bad with my boyfriend. And I just, you know, jumped from like a 10 meters of waterfall, almost like kill myself. And that day, I'm like, I need clarity. Like, you know, I'm going on the wrong path because, like, life is trying to show me something and maybe I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, it's first of all, well done on discovering the power of your intuition, right? You've had two cases so close to each other, one that told you stop and you followed, and that definitely led to so much more empowerment, and we'll get to that later in the podcast. But then you also saw how you had the intuition and you wanted to follow it, but you didn't. And that's what happened. And that's the power of intuition, really. We underestimate it so much. And it is a common fact that women have a very powerful intuition and we really should be following it. And when life shows it so, so much, and it showed me the same quite a few times, that's a massive message. We do have to listen to ourselves and just follow. Just touching on the previous subject of contraception, I definitely want to jump in and share here that you're definitely not the only one who has this kind of relationship with contraception, and myself as well. I'm not going to give like a strong opinion and advice to listeners. However, I will just agree with you, with your experience, and that what I'm seeing in the community, in the field community, from all of our teachers, from my personal experience, from my friends, and from the learnings I'm getting from ancient practices and from general womb wisdom. Honestly, we have so much power in our bodies. We have this magical portal of life, our wombs, and our hormones that support us in life so much, our menstrual cycle that helps us actually be stronger if we agree with it, if we follow it, and if we respect it. And unfortunately, a lot of us are recommended the contraception, myself included. I've always been recommended it by every single doctor I go to. And I've had it also from 17 years old until 23, when I also, just like you. And the numbness that you're talking about is indeed that artificial disconnection from the body that is caused by that fake hormonal cycle that we're undergoing through on pills. It just doesn't, it like turns off our magic. And and on the opposite side, when we don't use that fake injection into our bodies, we can connect to our true power. And that's the gift we can give to ourselves. And we know once we learn about our menstrual cycles and how they work, I recommend that they don't have it. It's like what we can experience every single month and different phases that give us different tools to work is amazing. So
yeah,
I like that.
No, and I feel like we were never thought like the cycle, like, you know, like your period was. I think when I was, I don't know, maybe 14, 15 years old, you always thought about it as like, oh, again, every period, you were complaining all the time, or like, you know, like that's disgusting, or like it was a taboo. You were like, oh, sorry, you have a tampon? Like you didn't even, you know what I mean? Like you couldn't even ask for it because it was like, I don't know, disrespectful, or like you didn't even want your boyfriend to know that you have a period, or like, you know, rather than thinking that it's actually very powerful and it's sacred. And you see a lot of like cultures that have it as like it's super powerful, and now like I have connected myself, I have connected my period to the moon cycle. Or even the information of when you see the blood, like, you know, I'm using the cup. I started using it almost 2 years ago, and I love it. I think it's amazing. And even when you see the blood, you're like, okay, it has so much information from your body, from like what happened in the last month, the rituals that you start doing of like releasing and let it go, and being super thankful for having that opportunity of creativity every single month. I think that's something that we were never thought, and that still is very taboo, you know? I think so.
It is still very taboo. You are absolutely right. As I am destined in just a modern society, like I'm shamelessly telling people, like in any kind of setting, that sorry, I'm on my period. Or like people still react with like, oh, how could you say that? It's just, and it's, I'm like, well, why shouldn't I not be able to say that? In fact, I want to encourage most people to freely talk about their period, because this is how we kill the stigma. And unfortunately, as you say, we've been taught to be like ashamed of them. And the more we are ourselves ashamed of them, the more we feel that shame. Like to make that worse, we have to kill the shame, at least in ourselves, and embrace the beauty and the power of it, and talk about the periods and menstruation as it is something that it actually is, a beautiful, natural process. And then other people will have the permission to do the same. But again, as you mentioned, we aren't taught that. So I feel we live in the world now where information is more available because of the internet and inspiring people, sharing inspiring things. So we have now that power to change how we approach certain processes, including menstruation. And everyone who wants to claim back feminine power do need to finally honor this process that actually means we can create life. And I just don't understand why we should be ashamed of it anymore.
I agree.
Yeah. What else changed in you once you dropped the pill? Like now you are tracking your cycle, you are understanding how it's connected to the moon cycle, you're using menstrual cup, which is fantastic. Yeah. What else like changed?
I mean, last year in March, I signed up for a female pleasure and sexuality course, eight months course. And that was a big, big change in my life, I think, before and after. Because, I mean, it definitely changed my perspective about, like, the feminine energy, the history, sexuality, even the way of I was looking for a partner. I think that really changed because I started connecting the information that my body has been, it's, I guess, hiding because I wasn't even able to look at it, but it was there, you know? Yeah. And because you sort of like, you start feeling your body so much and you're like, okay, now I feel what's happening. Or you start looking at the changes, then that course, for example, you were doing a lot of movement, meditation, Osho, even like exploring yourself, you know? And there was an exercise that is a mirror and you have to look at your vagina. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure of like, I don't know, we're maybe 120 women. Probably half of it, or maybe more than half, had never done that exercise before, which is crazy, right? It's your own body. And maybe 1 to 10, whatever, men have seen you, but you have never seen yourself before. Yeah. Or you have never touched yourself inside. Or you know what I mean? Like, that was like a huge change of it's starting to speak to my body different. Like, we've had this also the perception that the vagina or like whatever the vulva, it's like dirty or like it's ugly or like we don't want to see it. We don't want to like have to do anything that has to be with it.
Yeah.
And that was also a big change of like, no, I need to change the language with myself, you know, start looking at it and forgiving myself a lot. I think that was a big, big part of yeah, when I started like stop taking the birth control, for me it was a little bit of like I need to forgive myself for not knowing what I know right now. And for me that was like giving myself a lot of hormones, not paying attention, talking to myself in bad ways sometimes, and not being grateful for it. So that was a change for it, for me as well.
I'm so happy that women are now doing this more. At least there are some spaces available to get this information, because fair enough, our mothers had it harder.
Yeah.
Like, didn't have internet. They didn't have this information unless they were like daughters of brave women. Like my mom, she had no idea. Of course, she didn't taught me any of that.
Yeah.
And the disgust that has been placed on women by the society, by the media, especially in the Western world, on our own bodies is incredibly strong. And unfortunately, most people still out there, most women indeed aren't even looking. They aren't even brave. They don't feel brave enough to look at their own vulva in the mirror because they have this embedded thought deep, deep, deep down that it is disgusting. Mm-hmm. And how terrible is this? And also, if you think about it, that's actually the root of disempowerment of women. We are constantly taught that our natural things are disgusting. Our vulva, our smell, our period, like we are disgusting. And if we're constantly fed these things, even subconsciously, like some people listening to this podcast can be like, oh, I don't get this message. But like we do subconsciously. And if to actually feel whether we can really face and love ourselves fully, it is an amazing exercise. Just look at your own vulva and see what happens, right? Like, do you feel what's coming up for you? Can you look at it and be like, yeah, you're beautiful, I love you? Or when you look at it, do you have some other thoughts of like, oh, does it look right? Is my labia too long? Like, should I have a surgery? Like, a lot of women still think this way. They think they even have to have a surgery because it doesn't look in some kind of perfect way. And that's why I'm so passionate about this subject, because like that is disempowerment. If we constantly hate ourselves, we cannot really go far in life. And it's much easier for us to just listen and follow the rules and some sort of things that we want to be like, the society wants us to buy, if we believe ourselves and our own bodies. That's the work you're doing is like so important. The self-development work. By loving ourselves more, we can then affect the world. We can create better things around us. And let's stay on this topic of sexuality, because I want to know, you've taken 8 months course, which obviously has been a lot of embodiment practice, right?
Yeah, a lot.
What has been like the outside change in your life that you've been feeling while doing this this course? Maybe how your relationship to work changed, or in dating, love?
Yeah, I feel like, again, obviously how I think right now, it's completely different than when I was, 20, 25 years old. And I guess right now it's giving sexuality a purpose. And it doesn't matter if it's a one-night stand, it doesn't matter if it's a 2 months relationship or it is a 10 years relationship. You know what I mean? It's giving it like a real purpose of why do you want to do it? Do you want to heal through it? You know, you want to get to like divinity. I started reading a lot about tantra, and it's funny because when you speak to people and you're like, yeah, I'm reading about tantra, people like directly start thinking, oh, like orgies. Yeah. And it's like, what? No. And I started reading about it and I think like those courses and everything started changing of how I look at it. Like I feel like sexuality right now for me, it's more like connecting to divinity, exploring, being open, being present, being vulnerable, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very, very vulnerable in order to have an orgasm even, you know?
Yeah.
And if you feel like you are mature enough to have sex, then you also have to feel like you are vulnerable enough to open your emotions and open the most like divine or sacred part of your body to the other person as well, or even to yourself, because that's the other thing that I think we were taught, that we have to share all the time, or like we need someone to have an orgasm or to like have a very romantic night.
Mm-hmm.
And I started changing that as well. Like, okay, self-love. What is self-love at the very end? And it's also giving yourself what you need. Like, no one else can come and give you something that you need, because then if that person leaves, then you're empty again. And so mm-hmm. it doesn't really work. And so in terms of sexuality, it's like, what do I need and how can I give myself that? And maybe it's just, I don't know, dancing naked in front of the mirror, you know?
Yeah.
Or, which I started doing that a lot. And, or it's maybe lighting up a candle on a Friday night and having tea or whatever, a glass of wine, and just pampering yourself, you know? Just maybe giving yourself a massage, writing and asking yourself, what do you need? And I think that was a big, big change for me. And what, like, other people, I think nowadays twice, do I really want to share my energy with this person? You know, do I really feel safe? Or am I doing it in order to show him, her, whatever, like, I like my value, you know? Am I doing it because I want him to say, oh, you're good at it, da-da-da. So that has been a big, big change for myself of maybe not looking at sexuality as transactional.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that sexuality is not only penetration.
Mm-hmm.
That is being a big thing as well. It's like we only think that you need to get to the orgasm, and that kills the vibe sometimes.
Yeah.
Because then you're not sharing, you're not enjoying the moment, you're not enjoying the process. You're like, maybe you don't have to get to that point. Maybe it's just, you know, hugging each other naked. Or giving each other a hug, or like looking into each other's eyes for 30 minutes. And that could be more powerful than just go out and have penetration and that's it. You know what I mean? So I think that's a lot. A lot of things have changed for me in that topic.
You know, I love hearing what you say now, because I can say that in my experience within the field community and within wider community of women now learning about the power of the body and sexuality, and with all the hundreds of women who I've seen on our workshops, I can say that the discoveries you're feeling and experiencing are those natural, completely true discoveries of women who practice. If you practice, just, it can be so silly, right? Especially when you're just starting these practices. So like looking at yourself in the mirror, or naked dance, or self-massage, or any kind of self-love practices that are all about connection to the body and pleasure. You're like, oh, this is so silly. Getting into it can be difficult for many people, because like 10 minutes massaging myself, oh, we're all used to receiving. But in reality, it's just with any practice, you start, you commit, you do it, and then you start feeling the power of it. You're like, oh, because now I danced for like 30 minutes alone with like candles in the house, naked in front of a mirror. Now I suddenly realized that shit, I'm actually amazing. I love myself. I think I'm a present to the world and I deserve a better life. And then you start working towards it with like a truly connected intention. And that's how this work can start changing your life. But these realizations, if we try to think them, they never really become true. That's why like affirmations don't work as efficiently if we just affirm ourselves. But if we really just practice all these embodiment exercises, at some point it becomes a natural true, what you're saying, right? It becomes natural to know that it's not all about goals and orgasm and transaction. You give me this, I give you that. You just start feeling, not thinking, but feeling. No, it's all about it. It's about the process and love and real connection. And talking of tantra, right? The same as when most people don't even know what it is. It's not all about sex. It's the whole philosophy. Mm-hmm. But the philosophy of totality of things. Like you cannot love one part and not love the other. You love everything and all is divine, including your body and your vulva and your sexuality and whatever you're sharing in. And there is no transaction. So that's what happens to you, I really truly believe, happens to most people naturally if they practice. And with that, I would like to know, like now after finishing the course and now you live your life and you also had that, you had that incident of big pain in, especially in your pelvis when you fell in that trip in Costa Rica, like how are you, what do you practice? What are your routines? What are your rituals?
Right now I'm doing meditation every morning. Like I wake up, I do a meditation 30 minutes, you know, maybe if I don't have the time, I do it 15, but like it's something that it has to be in my morning routine. Well, I did the 28 challenge that feel, which was amazing as well, because that's a lot of embodiment and I really liked it. And but like normally I wake up, I have like one little liter of water with lemon. And then I do my meditation for 30 minutes. Then I have my celery juice. Then I move, like I normally like, you know, put music on and I dance and I'm like waking up and I'm like, you know, like just moving my body. Yeah. Or I could do like maybe, you know, two times or three times a week. I do like Oishi meditation, like I shake my body. I really move in like different ways that I'm used to.
Yeah.
And then I work out, like, you know, I could do body bar, I could do like yoga, spinning, like just different types of workouts. And I do a lot, like I normally maybe four times a week I journal, and that's also a big thing for me. Journaling has been a big, big change of just, you know, sometimes you have so many things in your mind and you don't know what to do with it. And then when you write it down, I feel like your mind is like, okay, I'm feeling better. You know, I'm feeling better. Yeah. And that's not like a daily routine, but
yeah,
but I give myself those romantic self nights. that I think are beautiful. And nowadays I'm also listening to podcasts so much. I love doing that and you know, getting information from like different people. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like the routine that I've been doing, but basically trying to put attention to my body a lot. Like, why am I feeling this? Like, okay, I'm still feeling like pain in my lower back. I need to get this, you know, I need to give it attention. And the course that we did last year, I'm doing the second part this year. I'm doing it also for like 6 months. We do a lot of hip movements.
Yeah, that's the essential. I love it.
A lot. So I try to do that a lot in it. And it could be scary sometimes because you have so much stuff hitting there, you know?
Yeah.
So many emotions, so many past experiences, maybe traumas, fear, insecurities, that really, I think that's something that every woman should be doing is, you know, the moving their hips, paying attention to that part of the body because it's so powerful, but yet it's also, you know, maybe it's been forgotten, you know?
So
you need to like, I give a lot of attention to that part of my body nowadays.
We are taking a little break so that you can learn how to access your sexual energy and feminine power at any time and learn to embody your most confident, beautiful, powerful self. We've gathered a community of leading teachers, tantra, embodiment, sex, love, intimacy, relationship coaches. And together with them, we create simple, daily practices and rituals that you can access online on demand. Embodiment, breath, tantric practices, meditations, dance, movement, everything you need to cultivate your sexual energy and feminine power. Even 5 minutes a day make a huge difference. You can access these practices in the Feel portal at a super affordable price from $15 to $30 per month. And believe me, this is the investment that has unbelievable, huge returns for your life, love, relationships, creativity, abundance, pleasure, and so much more. Get ready to awaken your inner goddess, harness your feminine power, and radiate authenticity in every area of your life. Join the Feel portal at feelup.co/membership or find the link in this podcast feed or on our Instagram at feel_women.
It's, you know, the hip movements in so many cultures, those, like, you know, there is belly dance. Mm-hmm. There are other expressions of women getting together and dancing, and mostly that would be about the hip movement, right? There would be moon circles. Mm-hmm. There have been so many gatherings like that in so many different cultures all over the world where women have been embracing that space and liberating it through the movement is the most powerful way, because think about it, this is where our wombs are. And interestingly, in the Western world, and especially like in Europe, there isn't much culture like that supporting movement of the feminine, you know, like in the modern culture, simply because witches have been killed here a lot.
Yeah.
So these things that had been considered witchy were actually really good for women. And this is like you're doing all the amazing things. I'm so happy to be listening to this. And it definitely shows on you, on all of your social content, where you look like glowing. And
you know what else I think? Because I remember myself 8 years ago. I mean, I've always loved dancing, right?
Yeah.
And I remember I wanted to go to a party, or like I was at a wedding and I was dancing and I was moving my hips. And in Colombia, like we love dancing. Like you really love dancing. Yeah. And I was moving my hips and I was feeling judged, you know,
mm-hmm.
just a personal emotion. But I was, you know, you see people looking at you like, basically it's like, oh, I think that the way you get it is like, oh, she's trying to show off, or she's trying to be super sexual, or, I mean, she's dancing right next to my husband and stuff like that, you know? Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I stopped like maybe 2 years ago. I was like, I'm going to start dancing how I want to dance because I love it. And it's like self-expression. Yeah. And people could think whatever they want to think, it's their problem. It's not my problem. As long as I'm not doing anything to anyone and I'm dancing and I'm having fun and I'm moving, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I am in the same space as you say. And this constant slut shaming, by the way, is another way of disempowerment. And the shame is that a lot of women actually slut shame other women, as you say, oh, she wants to kill my husband, or what does she think about? It's like this creative self-expression of the feminine is really important, and we shouldn't be suppressing others who do that. I feel the same. However, there is one more problem here. Is the safety. Now it's been coming up to me on the workshops quite a lot. Like a lot of women, unfortunately, in this world, not only feel ashamed of proper full self-expression, but also scared of it. Because unfortunately, when we are like, you say, dancing and shaking those hips and being ourselves and having fun, a lot of the times it's not safe.
Yeah.
And that really sucks. And my look here is like, I don't even know how to deal with it. But have you been, how are you working on your boundaries, like on your protection? Have you been working on it?
Well, that's another topic. I think self-love, it's about boundaries as well. You know, with yourself, with your family, with your friends, with people in general.
Yeah.
And you're right. Like, I remember, I think that was 3 years ago, I was in Bogota with my mom. I was going out and I was wearing a skirt. And she's like, I'm sorry to tell you this, but I would feel better if you change. Because I don't want you to go like out with that, you know, I mean, showing your legs, because I don't want you to be in danger.
Yeah, it's just about safety, right?
And that really hit me. I was like, wow. I mean, she's right. I was going to get an Uber by myself. I was going to go out. And so it's difficult sometimes. Honestly, in Mexico, I haven't had anything, you know, like where I felt like in danger as much. I actually had one experience that I'm thinking about it. I think that was 4 years ago. Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago. I arrived at like 1:30 a.m. in the morning to my house, to like my building, and I saw a guy. I would always see him, and he would be taking care of building right next to mine. He was about, I don't know, maybe 30 something. And that day, I remember I entered into the building. I turned to close the door, like the front door, and he was in like on the other side of the door. Putting his jeans down.
Oh God.
Yeah, and like putting his hand like inside of his like boxers and like touching himself. I was really scared. I remember I went directly into like the elevator and I was super scared. I mean, thank God, like nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing could have been worse.
Yeah.
And the next day, I was trying to go to, like, every building right next to, like, my building. And I was trying to tell everyone, like, listen, this guy's dangerous, like, da-da-da-da. And people were like, no, No, he's fine. Like, he doesn't do anything. He's just outside taking care of the building. I'm like, no, like you don't understand. I did this, da, 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 da. And honestly, I mean, I moved out of that building. I think that was maybe a month after that. But not, I mean, people really didn't believe me as much, to be honest.
That's the unfortunate truth of the world. It happens all the time, and not many people believe women, but it happens all the time. And that's why we always shall remember this concept of safety. And also, you know, I'm finding this conversation around safety also so useful to bring into relationships with men, because a lot of men don't really realize what it's like to be a woman. They just generally in their body they have more strength, and they deal with danger in a different way. If they have different set of hormones that activate, they have different set of kind of upbringing normally, right? Generally, and they often don't understand why is it such a big deal for us. Like, why do we need to feel safe with them in a relationship? Like, why is such a big deal? And I've spoken about it on this podcast as well with a male coach, Nick Warner. He explained it pretty well by himself. He told our community that he didn't even realize himself how much safety is important to women. And he advised, and I now agree with it, and I implement it in my relationships and even just in conversations with men, that like, look, it's been historically much more dangerous for women to express themselves. So that's why very often men have to prove that they're trustworthy and good people by default. They, like, unfortunately, we don't treat them as safe people right away. We have to first test it out and see, are they really safe? And that's why we can be giving them hard time in the beginning, because historically, just out of experience. So, yeah, I'm sorry to hear it, but unfortunately, it happens to so many people, right? And we always be aware.
And every day, because we feel scared to speak out, and I feel like now it's changing a little bit, right? And I think we need more women to start connecting to their bodies, to their feminine energy, to their creativity, healing their bodies. Because I feel like when you heal your body, you start connecting to the other people in a different way. I mean, you start putting boundaries of like, no, I don't like this, because I've been trying it myself and I don't like it. You know, I like it better this way. Or, you know, why don't we connect like this? And that's also, I think, something that I learned from the course. Like, there were so many things I didn't know about my body. I didn't know about my cycle, my physiology, or like my hormones even, you know? Like you were saying, like in your cycle, you get different hormones every month. We change every 3 days, you know, our hormones change every 3 days. And when you have your period, sometimes your boyfriend or whatever, your husband is like, oh, she's just crazy. Like, don't talk to her. But I don't judge them either, because we don't even know what's going on with ourselves. Obviously, I mean, they barely know. So I guess like when you start like learning about yourself, you can sit down with them and explain and be like, hey, listen, this is what's going on in my body. This is like, you know, my hormones are changing, this and that. And then that gives them, you know, a different perspective of, okay, now she's going through this. Now I can understand a little bit better, right? So I think that's a good thing as well. And I guess also from like the men, we've been taught that like men are super sexual. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, they're super sexual, da, da, da. And then you get into some relationships and you realize that is not true. You know what I mean? And then you have to work on it. And then you know, men, if they're stressed and have a lot of cortisol, or like you as well, you're not present, and so you're not having an orgasm, and it's a lot of communication that we're missing. Or I've met girls here that are like almost my age, like 35, they've never had an orgasm in their lives. Never. And it's like, how can you relate to someone if you haven't even had it yourself? How do you show the person? Or like, but then you get ashamed. And it's about that's also on the men's side, trying to open a safe place, or like a safe space for women, and saying, listen, maybe I haven't had one, and how can we help each other work as a team where I can feel safe saying this, and it's not gonna, and I don't wanna, and I'm not gonna feel judged, you know?
Yeah. That's all about self-learning and self-empowerment first, and then we can bring it in the relationships. Indeed. I also don't shame men, because like, honestly, I'm only learning about it myself now. How would they know?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, they have no idea. And also, I think that, you know, the porn.
Yeah.
Porn is like, it's been giving people this like super fake image of what it has to be, how it look. And it's like expectations versus reality. Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, it's not going to be like that.
It shouldn't be like, I would love that not to be like that.
Exactly. It's not going to be like that. I don't want it to be like that. We need to start, like, you know, changing that state of mind. But the performance also, I feel like for both men and women, were like, when you start like thinking about, okay, I'm going to have sex with this person, whatever, you are most of the times worried about the performance rather than just being there and being present and feeling. And so that's why it's so transactional. Man is like, okay, I have to make her come, and I'm going to do this, da, da, and I have to last whatever, 30 minutes. And then the woman is like, oh, my body, I look fat. No. What if I, and this like pose, and if I'm posing like this, I'm going to look better. And it's like, she doesn't enjoy it. It's like, it's so cool. Right.
And it's so funny that like in reality in that situation both are so worried about it going wrong that nobody is enjoying anything. And I would love to share it, because still 35% of the podcast listeners are men, so I would love to share it here that honestly, please don't do that. Don't be like in porn. Nobody wants you to penetrate a woman for 30 minutes straight, like no.
I mean, it's like we're looking for connection. Looking for like a connection, and it doesn't matter if it's only for like a one night stand. You know what I mean? Because that's also like the agreements that you have in your life with the person that you're with, whatever. But you want to have something more, right? Because most of the times when that doesn't happen, you're by yourself and you feel so empty, you just want to cry. You know, you're like, I just feel empty. And then the person doesn't call you, and then you feel more empty. And then, you know, it's like just communication. It's so important. And in every situation, I think it's the key. To just don't pretend, you know.
Yeah.
I've done it many times. I'm pretending to be the cool girl and like this and that. And it's like when you stop like pretending, it just flows, because it's like authenticity. And I've been working on that a lot lately, on being like authentic, you know.
Yeah. Be true to yourself.
Exactly. Like, if I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling sad. If I don't feel safe, then I don't feel safe. You know, I don't, I, I'm, I'm a human, and I'm sometimes I'm okay, I'm happy. And as you said, like being a public figure, like you always have to look like everything is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a bad day, because if someone comes and they're like, can I have a photo? You still have to smile and be like, yeah, of course. Even if, you know, you're having the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, like we're human as well. And sometimes like, I share some like personal things on my Instagram or like on my social media, but there's been a lot of times where I've felt insecure, jealous, sad, you know?
Yeah.
And that's also me as well. You know? That's also part of who I am.
It's one of the most powerful ways, I believe, to really love yourself and have an amazing life is to start loving your shadows and your fears. You know, when you feel bad, to be like, yes, I feel bad, I feel shit, and I love myself for it. Like, once we achieve that state, like, that's the ultimate self-acceptance and peace. Because we are taught again on like on social media and movies, like we have to be like, no, I feel shit. I'm gonna get out of it now. I'm gonna go and like be happy. And like, you're killing the other part of yourself so much that it just, you stop being true to yourself. And that's wonderful work. But
yeah, the shadow, that's another. Like that was another thing that I learned on the course here, that I was like, the shadow, what is the shadow? Like, you know, I started reading about Carl Jung and everything. And there is a phrase in Mexico, I'm going to say it in Spanish, that it is, lo que te choca, te checa. And that's basically, that phrase means, that thing that you don't like, that you hate, it's because there's something in it inside of you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I learned that so much. I remember, I don't know, maybe it was 2019. I was in Burning Man, and this is a personal experience. And there was a girl. She was with another boy or whatever. She was one of my friends, my boyfriend's friend, and she's super, you know, super hot girl, 22 years old, super free, you know, free spirit, amazing body, da-da-da. I don't know, she was having fun with this other guy, but the way she was moving or whatever, I was judging her so much, you know, like, look how she's moving, and look, and this guy is slapping her on her butt, and da-da-da-da-da, and like super stressed about it, you know? and I was like, and listen, that's your friend, and the people you get along with. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
2 years later, I'm started looking at, like, the shadow, and I'm doing a lot of shadow work, and I'm like, huh, of course, like that's why I was so angry about it, because I was probably wanted to be like her, sweet, dancing, you know, like happy with my own body, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and
I wasn't allowing myself to be who I wanted to be at a time, because I was judging myself with like a lot of social things, that was obviously why I was, you know, complaining about it that much.
Yeah, and it's amazing to accept it, right? To be like, oh, okay, cool, that's what it was.
Exactly. Now I can give myself the permission to be who I want to be, and yeah, of course, it's never gonna be perfect. I'm reading this book called Wabi Sabi, and that says, like, stop looking for perfection, because it will never be perfect. It shouldn't be perfect, right? There's always going to be things that will worry you, that you're not going to like. But the main thing is observing and just looking at it and feeling where is this coming from? Where in my body? Why am I feeling like this? And then at least you have like a different understanding of the situation and you know, those feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
So everyone is listening to us right now. We had a call, Maria and I had a call last week, and I was telling her about the 28 days challenge that I did, which I loved. I really liked it. And I was like, oh, I wish I could have had maybe one that lasted 30 minutes. I was like, okay, already 10 minutes? No. You know, I want more. Like, I my body still needs more movement. And I was like, okay, you should do a longer one.
I will. So I'm starting the next challenge. I'm doing it a few times a year. And with your feedback, which is so helpful, I will add optional few 30 minutes, 45 minutes practices for those who want to go deeper, which is amazing for me to hear, because I'm always like, how do we introduce this work, embodiment work, into lives of more people? And everyone's like, oh, I'm too busy, I don't have 12 an hour every day, or I don't have 15 minutes every day. So like, really, how do we make people like, do it, it's just 10 minutes, come do it, there is no excuse. But what I love hearing from you, and I experience it myself, when you start doing the work, once you start practicing and like give yourself, I don't know, 14 days straight, after you start being addicted to it, you're like, oh, it actually makes me feel good. Oh. It's not a problem to do it for 10 minutes a day. It's more like, it's amazing, I want more. And that's the beauty of such, you know, self-development and embodiment and all these shaking things we do like crazy people.
Yeah, but it's self-love as well.
Yeah. You know?
It's giving yourself those 10 minutes of just telling your heart and your mind or whatever, like, I mean, I'm here for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm
here for you. How do you feel? Like, and those 10 minutes could sound like, okay, it's only 10 minutes, but it's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's a big difference.
Yeah, I no longer, I don't go by, I don't spend a day without at least some practice, as I hear you also same, right? Like morning practice, at least 15 minutes we do need to find. Otherwise, it affects our day, isn't it? Like, if we don't do any of these practices, we just get back to like a stressed environment.
Then it's
not worth it.
No.
Yeah.
That's also another thing that I stopped doing since February, was waking up and not looking at my phone.
Yeah.
I need an hour like without looking at it. Like, I wake up, do my meditation, my celery juice, my water with lemon, and after 1 hour I'm like, okay, now I'm ready to look at my phone. Like, nothing really happens. Your business is not gonna die if you're not looking at it, you know, as soon as you wake up, I promise you, it's not
That's the key. I'm so happy you brought it up, because this is the major disease of this world right now, right? Like, people fall asleep looking at the phone, and people wake up and look at the phone.
Yeah.
And like, it's the first and last thing they see. So how miserable is that?
Yeah. And it just gives you a lot of anxiety, you know?
Yeah.
And Instagram as well. Like, I've had periods of my life that I'm like, so addicted to it. I was in Europe for a month in February, January to February, and I closed it. I mean, for me it's very difficult because I work with it as well.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a bad tool. It has a lot of good things, but when you can't live without it, that's when you know, I closed it for like a month, and I was so happy. I was like, oh my god, this is good, because it
me a lot of anxiety sometimes, and you're like, and you're like in this amazing place with like people that you love, and then you see whoever, Moto, whatever, I like this other yacht and Ibiza, and you're like, oh, I wish I was there, like, you know.
Yeah,
no, you're never happy because it's never enough, because there's someone in your mind that has more things, or have a better relationship or better life. And to be honest, yeah, everyone has their own issues, you know. No one is perfect. There's no perfect relationship. Yeah,
exactly. But these are all the important, like, foundational things, to be honest, right? If you want to live a better life, first things to do, like, get off social addiction and stop looking at your phone first thing in the morning. And then from there, you can start introducing meditation and embodiment practice and self.
Exactly.
Like, first things first, like, if you can't really be a conscious being if you're, like, 24/7 on your phone.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, and having this like spaces where women or like whoever wants to come and get, you know, different perspective of you know, women's life experiences. I think it's great because then we feel like we're like a team, even if we know each other. You feel like, okay, you know, I'm not alone in this, and that's great. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's a wonderful comment. Yeah, and it's exactly what we want to create. That was Juana Arias, and you can find her Instagram handle in the description of this podcast episode. If you are now inspired to start your embodiment and self-discovery journey, we invite you to join the Feel membership, and you can find all the details in this podcast episode description. Inside our membership portal, you can practice embodiment, sexual energy, feminine energy, and even find some partner practices that help you develop deeper intimacy with yourself and potentially your partner, develop your confidence, develop your sensuality, and develop your own personal power. If you would like more support in getting into your self-development and embodiment journey, we also have the 28-day program that Juana has spoken of in this podcast episode. And in this program, you can get a deep dive into embodiment and even receive some one-to-one support and group support. So we also invite you to check the 28 days of embodiment program on our website in this episode show notes. And our next cohort is starting on the 8th of April 2024. So if you're lucky and listening to this on time, you can still join the program. Otherwise, check for the next cohort on our website. That was me, Maria Grinina. I'm the host of the Feminine Power Podcast and the founder of Feel. And if you would like to support this podcast and help us spread the message and grow our feminine embodiment movement, please do follow and rate this show with 5 stars. This will help us a lot. Thank you so much, and until the next episode.